You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to hour number two. This is Dave Hodges, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. We come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast, and you can fill in the details. And we try to get the best in guests. We try to cover a broad range of topics. And I think we do a pretty good job. I mean, judging by the feedback we get. And people were asking me some over the break because we had a couple of replays on the holiday season. People said, gee, Dave, are you getting tired of doing your show? And no. Do you understand that we fell on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve? And that's why we just try to bring you some relevant programming that you would enjoy. And it just so happened that Cody Snodgrass' interview, I thought was probably the most timely thing out there. So we ran that on Christmas Eve. But no, I love doing this. And when they take away the net from us and when they ban us from all the stations, like our friends up in Utah, KYAH, when they do all that, I'll be out in the town square being the old-style town crier. Because we're not going to let these guys win. That's the bottom line. You know, this is probably a multi-generational battle. And it's something that I'm preparing an article on right now. And it is. It is a multi-generational battle. And we're going to have to change our mindset to become more like the Viet Cong. And what they were, and they fought from, 1941 against the Japanese and the French and then the Americans. And they were prepared to fight till hell freezes over, and we need to wage our battles. They don't necessarily need to be military, although at some point I do think this will turn violent. I hope I'm not around when it does. But I do think that this is multi-generational. Draining the swamp is proving much more problematic than we thought, and it just the fact that Hillary Clinton, and by the way, did you know her statute of limitations runs out? Uh-huh, that's right, on the emails. I believe that date's February 10th, if I'm not mistaken. So those statute of limitations run out. And Jeff Sessions, wrong guy for the right job. He's no better than Loretta Lynch. You might want to read the scathing piece I wrote up him on the Common Sense Show. We also have a YouTube channel you want to check out by the same name, The Common Sense Show. Well, we're brought to you this hour by Ready Made Resources. My good friend Bob Griswold, Mr. Prepper King, as I like to call him, he has everything you could need, and I always say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine. The medicine's Ted. That's his domain. But I think that when you look at pretty much everything else, Bob's the place to go. ReadyMadeResources.com. He'll spend time talking to you about your prepping needs. He will not charge you like most of these guys do. ReadyMadeResources.com. We're also brought to you by Numana. And Numana is the best in storable food. I mean, that's it. There's no competition. Numana.com/Hodges. Get the peace of mind coming with knowing that you've done all you can do to protect your family. Coupon code for that for 5% off is Hodges9. Well, I interviewed last night Vance Davis of the NSA about current events and what's going on. So, Todd, let's go ahead and roll that interview. That's really about less than 24 hours old. It's fantastic. On the Newsmaker line with me is an old friend, Vance Davis, formerly of the NSA, that would be the National Security Agency, and he and I were exchanging text messages over the past couple of days, and he hit some sensitive points with me, and I thought it would be good to get this out to the public. Vance, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, it's been interesting to watch people leave in droves from NSA, too, lately.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're and the EPA and the CDC and yeah, Trump is
and
doing
the FBI as well. Some agents have left the FBI too.
Yeah, I get that too. I have an old dear friend that's in the FBI, and this person's telling me exactly the same thing. But they also tell me the old guard is still intact at the FBI to a large extent. And the deep state still controls the majority of the operations for the FBI.
Yeah, and using the word deep state, Dave, I mean, I don't know if your audience understands what that really means. I think the average person does not. What that means is that those are people that have not been elected by us, that have been here 30, 40, 50 years, that have worked in politics and worked in that environment and worked in D.C. in that area and around the nation for that long. And they're ingrained. And that to me is what deep state means.
No, we're
they
totally
are changed out every 4 years.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're totally on the same page with that. And they become beholden. Well, first of all, they're hired for the philosophies they embrace. And then they're basically loyal to those philosophies. And so Donald Trump comes in and doesn't mean anything changes in these agencies. And what a lot of people don't realize, Vance, is most of the things that happen in government are not done through statutory means. They're done administratively. So as long as these agencies have deep state people controlling them, not much is going to change.
And you have to ask the question as an individual to decide, okay, where do their allegiances lie? Because you could have the old FBI from the 1950s that did counterintelligence stuff on the average American people, or do you have the new deep state that is there to protect the Constitution and the flag? You don't know because you never see or hear these people really talk. So you have to look at things outside of them and what's happening and occurring around other places.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, compared to when, let me ask you a two-part question. The first part of the question is this: how do you think Donald Trump is doing in terms of supporting his base and doing the things that he promised to do as a candidate?
I think he has led his base, personally, his base down a rabbit hole. He has basically went out and stated what they wanted to hear and then totally went a totally different route. That's my opinion. That's not, some of it may be factual in the sense of what he's done. He definitely, however he does it, either childishly or non-childishly, he plays rhetoric very good and then he does something else behind the back. I don't know if it's something that he is doing purposely or that he's just not figuring out what he's supposed to be doing in that office. I think it's a mixture of both, that he just does not have the nuances to understand what he really got himself into, and it creates problems. There's people that still state he is still a New York Democrat through and through. I don't know what New York Democrat means. I think they're a little different than the normal Democrat, and they're not quite all the way Republican. It's just a different, New York's different. And you know that one.
No, I agree. But, you know, on his behalf, and I'm not going to be a Trump apologist here, but he has done a good job to some degree. I'm not entirely happy with it, but with tax reform, the stock market's up, although the benefits aren't trickling to the average person. And also, we're looking at our trade deficit has kind of turned a corner. I wouldn't say it's made dramatic improvement, but he stopped the bleeding, and he's kept a lot of jobs inside of America. Would you agree with those assessments?
Well, I'd agree with that in the sense, and you have to ask yourself, who is directing that? Is he being told to do that? Because we had problems, and I'll be honest with you. We had, our tax codes are so complicated and messed up, and they have been for at least 30, 40 years. And then that's the last time the tax code was really altered. Doing it as fast as they did, there's going to be problems, because right now there's several problems with the tax code. Right now the colleges are trying to figure out, because now they cannot get donations, and the people that donate cannot take those donations off their taxes. As a business owner, small business owner, after next year or this year, for for next year's taxes, I can't take any expenses off. So they pushed through something that they didn't see the ramifications of on the taxes. As for the stock market, that is good. Hopefully we don't go back. Now, my concern is the stock market is so high, so when it falls, it's going to fall hard. And that's I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that there's adjustments that are always made. And yes, he's done some things and he's forced some things. And, you know, he's also done some things he hasn't completed. Like he needs to get all these, district attorneys changed out, federal attorneys. He needs to get them replaced because he's past the deadline now on the ones he got rid of. And by the way, people need to understand this happens on every elected president. Changes like this and change of people, change in process, change in policy happens every 4 to 8 years. People have to realize it. Some of these changes happen all the time. Although the news plays it up as, oh, this is the first time it's happened. Some of them is the first time, some of it isn't.
Oh, I hear what you're saying about the judicial turnover. In fact, within any administration, you see turnover. I mean, Hillary Clinton, for example, was only a one-term Secretary of State. I think Obama had about had enough of her. She had become an embarrassment, and he got rid of her. And you look at the turnover in any administration, it's significant. I agree with you. Let's go back to that tax issue you brought up, because I have a lot of small business owners that listen to this show. I hear from them frequently. You said that as of next year, that nobody is going to be able to deduct anything from small business expense. So if they go out and buy a fax machine or a computer, they can't deduct that?
Correct. Office expenses are no longer allowed on your deductions. Neither is mileage. If you travel for your business like I do, none of that will be allowed. I've been talking with my tax agent for the past 3 weeks now, and he is just frustrated because if I buy goods, the cost of goods, the COGS, that's different. But anything like office supplies, mileage for travel, you know, if I have to go out and print a bunch of stuff, none of that is now taken off. And he's trying to figure it out. He's still trying to play with it. And from what I understand, they're having discussions. He said that in his understanding, they're having discussions in the Senate and in the House to figure out how to fix some of these, because that pretty well messed up the small business owner. If you have less than, I think he said 500 employees, an example I was given, he gave me an example. So if you make $60,000 this year and you spend $30,000 on supplies, mileage, and everything else, this taxes that you can do now, you can take that $30,000 off. So now you're going to pay taxes on $30,000, right? Next year, you have to pay the full $60,000, taxes on full $60,000 of income. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely makes sense. And That's disturbing, because small business grows by buying plant and equipment and then deducting that off their taxes, where they usually get about a third off in real dollars.
Correct. And so that means now, instead of paying, I don't know, you know, $1,600 in taxes, now I'm going to be paying $3,200, and how that works. So this disturbing. And it's just, and that, you cannot blame Trump for that. That is not Trump's issue. That is on the problem that we've had for the past, I'd say, 30 years of the Senate and the House not knowing what they're doing. Does that make sense? There's a problem.
Imagine that. The Senate and the House not knowing what they're doing. What's prompting this attack on small business?
Honestly, I'm going to call it what I think it is, and I don't know if I can. There's certain things that can show this. I think it's a class war. I think it's a class war with these large businesses and the small businesses, and there's certain aspects. And I have Republican friends like yourself that there's Republicans used to believe in small business, and Democrats tend to believe in large businesses. In the past, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with it. At least that's what it's evolved.
That has changed.
Yeah,
that has changed. It's almost flipped. Mm-hmm. That now the Republicans are basically taking everything out on the small businesses, and they're making sure their money's coming from the big businesses like the Kochs and everything else, and that they're getting money from them, and they want to protect those big businesses. Well, I understand that. This happened in the late 1800s, early 1900s, with the robber barons. And it seems like now we have the new robber barons. And there's no balance. And that's the problem. There's not a balance. And that's why I think the House and Senate and certain people within those in the industry in the White House, and I call it an industry up there in Washington, D.C., because it is, that these people are concerned about all these investigations that Mueller's doing, because they're going to find all this corruption. They're going to find money laundering. They're going to find all the stuff that's been going on for, I don't know, 50 years, if not 60 years, that have been going on in Washington. And this scares these guys because they are used to using this practice to be able to enrich themselves and protect themselves. And they're scared to death. And maybe that's the sending note. Maybe that's what Trump is going to bring down. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right. Well, one thing I do know, I reported on this in 2015, and now it's surfaced and is verified. Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller delivered uranium on behalf of Hillary Clinton to the Russians in 2009. And a lot of people believe, Vance, and I want to get your perspective on this as a former intelligence officer, a lot of people believe now that Trump let this Russian collusion delusion go forward because he knew he had Mueller and he could flip him and he could turn that Russian situation into not investigating him, but ultimately investigating Hillary Clinton for Uranium One and selling uranium to the Russians. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you from my sources, uranium was never delivered, even though the deal was done. There's deals done that would scare the hell out of the public all the time and for years. And it's just... And this is why I think Obama ended up getting rid of Hillary, because certain things hit the public, which wasn't supposed to. And these deals are part of, just like the Iran deal, the Iran-Contra thing, the arms deal that went down to South America. All this stuff happened a lot outside the preview of the public. But now it's becoming more social media, like your sources, my sources. It tends to get out more. So now they're trying to backtrack on all this. Now, as for that deal, yes, there's going to be investigations. Looks like there's an investigation again on the Clinton Foundation. There's still investigation on the Trump Foundation and the school he created, if you remember that. That's still ongoing. There's practices that have been done for years that have been allowed to happen that are now being investigated. And this is just some of them. Okay, the connections to the WikiLeaks, you know, these other things. There are so many, and my friend and within the FBI says, there are so many investigations now that it scares everybody, and now they're trying to destroy the FBI, or some people are, not everybody, but some people are, so that their names don't show up in that list. Okay? There are Republicans involved in that Russia deal with uranium as well that have not come out yet that will. And that's what's scaring everybody, because this is not just one person doing it. This is a whole group of people that did that deal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let me throw you a couple names that have crossed my path. John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Uranium. Yes, Lindsey Graham is a big one. Yeah, Lindsey Graham's a big one. And you got to remember, there's also a deal that's going to be talked about with Chinese and lithium. Because a lot of the lithium that we get for lithium batteries and stuff and comes from China. You guys realize that, right? I hope your listeners realize that as well.
Yeah. I listen, I'm not an expert in this area, but I'm aware of what you're talking about.
Yeah. And a lot of uranium that is processed in the world right now sits in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if anybody needs material for their power plants or anything else, most of them, just like Iran and some in Turkey, are going to buy their uranium in Israel from us. There's not many sources they can buy it from. And that's what makes North Korea dangerous, because they're getting processed uranium, but they're not getting it from us. Who's it getting it from?
That's a good question. I'm going to make a guess. How about China?
Yes. China, and that's got Russia worried, because now if China's processing uranium in large enough vats to do that, We can't control that.
Interesting.
That's almost impossible for us to control.
Well, here's the other thing we see with North Korea, to kind of take a right turn here in this discussion, but you bring up uranium and the fact that the North Koreans seem to be not running out of it, but increasing in it. How about the technology of their missiles? They've gone from being very crude, I can fire a missile over the island of Japan, but now we can hit the United States, and they sent one missile up 2,800 miles, and it descended almost straight down. That's an EMP weapon. So when you look at that, Vance, where are they getting that technology from? What, they've made quantum leaps. Is it China again?
No, it's not China, although they may have people working with them. They have, supposedly they have some people that came from the Middle East also over there. But we have to look at this. This is a process that's been building over 30 years. Excuse me. And Dave, you gotta look at one thing. They have sent people to colleges in the United States, in China, in Russia, in Israel, that have gone back home that we did not track. They came over here and learned the processes, because we teach this process in physics and in science in the United States in colleges. People don't realize that. This is a learned process. Okay? Then they go back home, and now they have scientists that know how to do this stuff. Okay? It's not like, you know, the old story back when we were kids, you could build an atom bomb off the internet, or off the early internet. You remember that story?
Yeah, I remember it very well.
Okay, well, you can't do that officially, but if you go to college over here and you learn, and all of a sudden now you're back over to North Korea where you came from, or you came through South Korea and then went to North Korea. And there's people out there, too, that for the right money will work for North Korea to work on this process. So they could have their own homegrown people that they sent to school. They have, I know they have, what do you say, Chinese scientists, and they probably have some scientists that don't care where their money comes from that are working with them.
Interesting. How close a relationship does North Korea have with Iran?
I think, besides, they get oil from China, but I think they have a closer relationship than what we're being told. And I think it's being utilized to, by North Korea to just kind of keep, you know, if they can use it to their advantage, they will. North Korea, as a historian, has a very good practice of utilize, they'll say one thing on one side and work the opposite on the back row, if that makes any sense to your listeners. They'll come in, like now they're wanting to call and talk to South Korea about some peace. Well, my concern is over their history and their past, something's going to happen, because when they do that, they do an attack, or they do a bomb attack, or they kill someone. They always do something drastic at the same time, and that's my concern.
Boy, you know, is North Korea the knee-jerk country that our mainstream media is making it out to be? Are they totally devoid of reason and common sense?
I don't think that the military within North Korea is. I think the leaders are, and some of the generals are just nuts. I think there's the people don't even know what's going on over there. Now, I'm talking the North Korean people. These are leaders, and I hate to say it, and there's leaders around this world that just, they don't care what they do. It's about their own grandizement, their own power, their own perception of themselves. You got to remember, in North Korea, the North Korean people believe that his father is a god and that he is the son of a god. And if he believes himself to be that god, it doesn't matter what he does. He is God, and he will do what he needs to do or what he thinks he needs to do, because he's been given that position. That's scary to think of. It's scary to think that we may have presidents that think that way. I hate to say it, Trump has an attitude that he is beyond reproach, that he is powerful, that he's been elected and he's the president. He can do whatever he wants. That's a scary thing to have, okay? Thinking, oh, I'm president, so now I can dictate what happens in this country. Well, he can to a point. You can't to a certain point, though. You got judicial, you got different branches of the government. You don't have that kind of power, even though he stated in his tweets and stuff he believes he does. And there are people, which concerns me, that believe he was sent by God and is given power by God to be in the position he's in. That's a scary thing to think about as well. I hate to say it, but that's my opinion.
Well, don't hate to say it, because I think you're probably right on the money. One of the things that we do know about the North Korean army, though, and this is from the two defectors, if this, I don't know, it's not a very good sample size, Vance, but I think it's indicative of what we find. These two North Korean army defectors that have gone to the South, one before he died, they were starving to death. They literally...
Right, and they're full of bugs, yeah. There's no food. Yeah, there's no food. I mean, you cannot live on rice and beans alone. And, you know, I want to understand, protein is very, very lacking in North Korea. You know, good protein. We're talking chicken, beef, you know, things like that.
Well, let me hearken back to past conquerors. Genghis Khan, one of the things that he liked to do is when he conquered an area, so his men didn't get fat, happy, and sexually satisfied, he would order the murder of all the women, so these men would want to go on after a few days and conquer the next area. Is that what the North Korean army is being primed for by basically withholding food?
No, it's a good concept, but no, they're withholding food from the army, so they're beholding to them for any substance they get at all. And when you drive a man or woman to the point where they feel they have nothing left, they'll defect. They use it in a way to keep them under control. Does that make sense? That they have to be this way. It's like almost like a model that we've had, that we have models that certain people, power-wise, just like with the sexual stuff going on, that keeps control of those models by controlling their weight and what they eat. Oh, if you don't do that, I'm not going to pay you anymore, or I'm not going to allow you to do this anymore. That's the same thing there. They're using the food and the lack of food or the lack of amenities to keep control of their army. That's breaking apart, I feel, in the North Korea. And by the two guys that left, there's more. I mean, if there's only two, that means you got to look behind it, double that and triple that and quadruple that. There's more people that are trying to figure out how to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look right directly at the leadership. If things are so desperate within the military ranks, and to me that would be the quickest ticket to a coup, then how can the leader of North Korea feel that he's safe when his military is so mistreated?
He feels he's safe because he has a bunch of yes men and women around him. But that's never true. In history, despots never are that safe. They just feel they're that safe. All it takes is if he actually physically threatened, and you gotta remember, and I'll remind your audience and you, if he were to launch a missile going towards the Australia, let's say, or to a United States compound in near Japan, or anywhere near that, or Okinawa, let's say, that missile will never touch the ground. We'll have it shot down before it even decides to go anywhere. And then at that point, we will also shoot the launching mechanism of that thing and destroy it. That's one thing I know President Trump will do. It's probably already on the books, and our military is already ready to do that. But they think they can get away with it and attack anything like that or one of our allies that way. It will never make it. And the only way they could...
I was going to ask you before you go on, is that technology to take out a missile and to destroy its launching mechanism, is that satellite-based? Is that part of Star Wars?
That's part of Star Wars that Reagan started, yes. And you notice we don't talk about the Star Wars program. Because, and I'll remind your people, Reagan came out and talked, and they wish he had. He talked about the Star Wars defensive program. And you got to remember now, that's what, going on 40 years ago now? Think about the technology and where we've gone, including what is HARP. You've heard of HARP, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've done many shows.
Okay, HARP was part of that defensive program. Did you know that? You knew that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's part of the SHIELD program. Now, there's attributes of HARP that can do other things, as we all know. But I believe part of the things that they put in the sky. You see the lines, you know, that planes lay down. It's also part of that. But they have other attributes. There's other things up there. I mean, we have satellites that we know nothing about that are up there. You know, that the Air Force has its own launching site in Florida. So, you know, what else is up there? And China has their own. And I guarantee you, China does not want a war there. Because that raises questions on Taiwan. They don't want to fight with us. They really don't. There's too much money involved.
Well, then let me ask you this. Why are they rushing their troops and mechanized equipment to the border of North Korea? I kind of feel like it's the Yalu River all over again, and if we attack North Korea, China will attack us.
We will not attack North Korea. I think what's happening is if he decides to do, this is my, from a source that I know of, and that works overseas, they think, and that from some communications, they think that they're going to take him out before we even have a chance to do anything. There may be a skirmish and stuff, but I think North Korea is probably going to change leadership here in the next year and a half. And I think it's going to be forced either by the generals, because I guarantee you the Chinese have people inside in the forces, in the armed forces, and in high up that know exactly what's going on. And I think that we're not hearing that we have people that are in contact with them and have discussed with them. I'm talking high up in intelligence. That's why, you know, we'll let President Trump say and do what he needs to do on that, but there's things already in place, being put in place, to take Kim Jong-un out, if that makes sense. But you have to, they're waiting until after the Olympics. The Olympics is a big issue, David.
It's interesting. I have come across that same claim that, first of all, don't do anything during the Christmas retail season. And then that was quickly right. followed by, well, let's wait till the Olympics are over. Is that the last barrier to bridging into conflict?
Yes. The goal is to protect the Olympics at all costs. And because you're talking the world involved there, and protect that at all costs. And then after that, all gloves are off in dealing with North Korea. So it's become political and also financial, because even the Olympics are so important. I think, and part of that, mentioning the Olympics, I think the Chinese are there in case someone does something stupid during the Olympics, i.e. North Korea.
Interesting. That is really interesting. Well, let's shift back to domestic issues for a second.
Okay.
I kind of see a three-pronged plan against Trump, and I want to lay out what I have written and get you to comment and get your perspective on this. Plan A was to get Trump out through the Russian collusion, delusion, and that's collapsed because of the Russian dossier and all that fraud. Plan B looks like it's get Trump out through the 25th Amendment by getting the cabinet to agree that he's mentally ill, and I think that has a snowball's chance in hell. And after that, I don't see much else that the deep state can do to get Trump out other than assassination. What's your take on where we're at domestically with Trump and the deep state?
Okay, number one, let's deal with the Mueller investigation into Russia. Russia definitely interfered with our politics and have for the past 10 years heavily. It's part of their program in Russia. Russia has a five-year program. He reenacted that five-year program to dismantle and disrupt the American public trust in our elections and in our public offices, including statewide and federal. This is part of their program in Russia. They've done that through social media, through other aspects. And you have to be careful. People take for granted everything that's on. I've had so many people tell me, David, oh, it's on Facebook, so it must be real. Or it's on the internet. It has to be real. Okay. That's not true. And you cannot, my ID has been taken on Facebook. I had to redo my Facebook because someone was putting stuff out under my name that wasn't real. Okay. You have to be careful and check what you are reading and even check your own stuff. I'm sure you do, to make sure that something's not putting out in your name that you didn't do. So this is part of the program, and we are behind. Our intelligence is at least 15 years behind what the Russians and other people are doing on the internet. And that's sad. Okay. We shouldn't be, because we created the internet. We shouldn't be behind, but we are. We're trying to catch up. So that the Mueller investigation is real in that, but they're finding other things like the corruption. They're finding money laundering, which has been going on for years and years and years. It's nothing new, even though the press treats it as something new. It's really not. It's just coming out to light. As for him being caught up in it, no, some of Trump's people will probably be caught up in it and be nailed in it like his son. Ultimately, I don't believe Trump will be nailed with it. I agree with you. Okay? It's just, there's no outright smoking gun at this point. Would you agree?
Well, I don't see it happening, and this is why, if Trump really is an adversary of the deep state, I think assassination is their lone remaining card.
And I don't think they'll do it. The second thing you were talking about, which was, what was your second thing again? The
mental illness, 25th Amendment disability,
The 25th Amendment has never been enacted. It has not. It has not been enacted. You got to remember that the president in the 70s, he left. He resigned, and Ford took over. So that was never enacted. It was going to be. It's very, very hard to enact that amendment on a president. Very, very difficult. Because you have to have all kinds of evidence and everything else that's just questionable. As for the mental part of it, look what they did with Reagan. I'll bring up my note to you. The whole second term of Reagan, he was fighting Alzheimer's and had problems remembering from day to day what he did the day before or what he even ate for breakfast by midnight, by the afternoon. They protected him. If there is a mental illness to protect the office, they will protect Trump. They will do. Somewhere, some when, they're going to cut off his Twitter feed, okay? Because he's stepping in his own stuff that he's putting out on the table. And somewhere, they're going to tell him, you got to stop doing this. I'm sure they've told him several times. But to protect the office of president, not necessarily the man, the office, they're going to get that under control and make that go away. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm surprised it already hasn't happened. But let me get down to brass tacks here. Is Trump and what we call the deep state, are they adversaries or allies?
My personal view, this is my personal view, and there's no facts at this point to back it up, although there's some little telltale signs. I think they're in bed together. I think they're utilizing his quirks, if you want to call it that, to do what they want done. And I brought up to you, I think about 3 or 4 days ago, that there might be a red flag event. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I wanted to get to. It's on my list here, so let's jump right to it. By red flag event...
And Trump's going to help make it happen. So he's got to be in bed with them to make that happen.
What do you think this event will be?
Well, I am tracking 3 possible events. One of them is kind of out there, but it's a possibility. The Pentagon released unknown flying objects paperwork from a project they've had for the past 20 years. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I just did an article on it, yes.
Okay. So that is unusual in itself, that they have not done that since the 1950s. Why do it now? They've also released, and some people have released, within that environment, released photographs of unknown bodies that did not fit human nature. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I know about that too, yep.
Okay. So that to me means they're leading up to something. Whether it's real or it's made up, doesn't matter, because all that has a symptom of fact. It is true that there are things they cannot identify. Astronauts will tell you, pilots will tell you in the Air Force and the Army, and the helicopters will tell you in Vietnam they saw things. That's fact. Now, how they use those facts is different. What you see out in the UFO or the alien field out in the public is far different from what you see within the military ranks or within the political ranks. So that can be used in the way of a red flag saying, hey, we have a threat. Now, I'm going to take you back to a little bit of history. A certain president, Ronald Reagan, said when he talked about Star Wars, he brought up Star Wars. When he did a speech in 84, maybe. I believe that's one time, I got to double check. We talked about the Star Wars initiative. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So when he was talking, and was talking on national TV about it, he said there are far worse enemies. And he claimed Russia as an enemy, but he said Russia is nothing compared to the enemies that are outside of our planet. Do you remember a statement like that?
Yeah, and then he went on to say, imagine how quickly we could unify if we showed you there was a threat out there. Yeah, exactly. I
correct.
Do remember. Yep.
Yes. That's what the whole Star Wars initiative was about, to protect this Earth, meaning that someone somewhere knows there's a threat out there. So if you create a red flag on that and bring that all back up again, and you have events that happen to show that, okay, like another set of Phoenix Lights that occurred recently, okay, and you bring up the fact that we have built things up on the moon and certain satellites there too, not watching the planet but watching outside the planet, okay, there's things being built over the past 40 years to protect that. You can create a red flag event off that. And the people would give up their rights to protect themselves. Would you agree?
That's been our history, yeah. Sacrifice, liberty for security, absolutely.
Right. So another red flag event that could happen falls in with Russia and North Korea and China. Trump, and supposedly the media is playing this up, that the rest of the world does not trust us anymore. You've heard that, right?
Well, I don't think that's new, though, Vance. I think that's been with us for
a long time. Right. So Trump has pushed that a little bit by taking us out this, doing that, not playing politics differently than most people do. But people don't realize we have Chinese soldiers and Chinese bases in Mexico. We have Chinese goods in Canada. We're surrounded. We probably have Chinese soldiers. We have North Korea soldiers living within the United States. They're not active soldiers, but they can be activated. The red flag event is that we have a national threat to our borders. And that means if an event happens that you have multiple attacks everywhere all at once, what would happen at that point?
Well, I have actually written about that. I called it the coming Tet Offensive of the modern era. And you're so on the money with this, and this is where our research is coinciding. We have MS-13 here. We've let the cartels in. Senta, which is a Chinese solar energy firm, is a front group by the Chinese army. They're installing solar farms all across the country. So by default, we have Chinese soldiers in our country, Vance. And they control the port of Long Beach. And they can be brought in these shipping containers.
Yeah. We sold it.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I know.
And only one out of 20 shipping containers are ever inspected.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to list which ones are being inspected. The people don't know that. But they know which ones are inspected and which ones aren't. And that's the second red flag that could be happening. And there's truth to all of it. Things will happen in real life. But it's meant to basically put the United States in a situation, or North America in a situation, where all civil liberties are wiped out. And the third event is the despot. Protocol. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
That is where the office of the presidency is so devalued and so created and so creates such a problem that they have to forego the presidential office and put someone in power that is not elected.
Oh. And is this what Obama tried to accomplish before he left?
I don't know if he did or the deep state did. Someone, I think, attempted, and Obama wouldn't play along. He ended up backing out of it, I believe, and just because it brought up so many fears. Does that make sense?
Well,
not really.
And I'll tell you why it doesn't make sense to me. It's been exposed now that Obama had his own private army, has his own private army, and he wouldn't move away from Washington D.C.
Instead, he and Valerie Jarrett relocated just a few short miles from the White House. I think he had every intention of taking over, but it just didn't happen.
Right. And unfortunately, and we also have someone else that has, well, what's sad, and this is not, it's, I don't think it's come out in press yet. It will. Trump has his own security firm with him. Do you know that?
Yes.
There's over 2,500 people that work for Trump directly. Not the normal White House security or anything else. It's his own private firm or his own private stuff. And supposedly they have up to 10,000 people that work for him quietly.
Yes, I do know that. And that's because he doesn't trust the Secret Service, which I think is wise.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but the Secret Service there is for a reason. But when you have that kind of stuff, and he's not the only president to do that, is what I'm saying, but at this stage. So that's why I think the despot play, if you want to call it that, is to disrupt the political field so bad. And I think this is what scares a lot of Republicans on the Hill in Congress and in Senate, because they're part of it. And they don't want Mueller in this investigation part of it, because it will show that this is part of the program in the deep state. And Mueller is very Republican. People have to realize that. And I'm not talking new term Republican. I'm talking old style Republican. And this could create such a mess, this whole thing going on here, that it could create a red flag of a despot issue. That means that for up to 90 days, the Constitution could be suspended. And when you do that, that means if you have a registered gun, they can come and grab it from you during that period. With the disasters that have gone on here and other financial issues, and now Jeff Sessions wanting to go after all the states with the legal marijuana and medical marijuana, and that, in other words, everything's setting up for a despot grab. Does that make sense?
I would agree from Sessions' point of view, but Sessions is compromised, and I've been calling for his removal. I don't know that Trump is working towards his own demise. I don't see that part of it.
Well, he wouldn't know if he was. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to tell you, David.
All right, got it.
He is so caught up in his ego, and that he's smart. He's this powerful. He's a genius. He's caught up in his own stuff, and they're letting him run with it. That he's not going to see it when he gets hit in the back of the head.
Well, Vance, we're just about out of time, so I'm going to pin you down here. And got to be kind of a short answer. Of the scenarios you just presented, which one do you think is most likely?
I would put the three in order. I think the last one we talked about has a higher probability. The alien one will be the least. I think the middle is most likely, even though it's less percentage than the last one we talked about. I think it's going to be the North Korea and the Seoul Korea and the after the Olympics and stuff. I think it's going to create a international red flag.
Interesting. I don't disagree with those possibilities. Project Bluebeam is what the alien thing is called. Just for people can want to reference that to other sources. Vance, been very informative, my friend. It's been too long since you've been on. We got to do this again soon. I want to thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. And just to let everybody know, be on the lookout. Watch every newscast, not just one. Watch all the news and watch everything on the web. Put the pieces together like a puzzle and protect yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. Thanks so much, Vance.
Thank you.
Well, that's Vance Davis of the NSA, and I got to tell you, I've known Vance for 25 years, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that we've never talked about, stuff that's phenomenal, and stuff he talked about over two decades ago, excuse me, where he identified certain things that are just now coming to light, like ancient alien technology, and we'll have to do a show on that sometime too. But really, I thought really, really revealing stuff. One of the things that I don't think came through in the interview quite as clearly as I wished it would have, you know, my wife and I were sitting in a restaurant having dinner, and they had a game on, and I know he likes to go watch this team play, and so I texted him, and I said, Vance, what's up? Your team is doing great.
And we start going back and forth, and he really emphasized, and we talked about this before and after the interview, he really emphasized the fact that major false flags are coming. And he did say it. He called them red flags. I call them false flags. We're talking the same thing. And he was absolutely sure that bad stuff is coming, because even if Trump is compromised, some people believe it, even if Trump is neutralized, to some extent he is, the rising tide of populism is here. And I was told back in 2012 by a FEMA person who took his family and they bugged out with other like-minded FEMA people to create their own self-sustaining little colony, that if the rising tide of populism, this is way before Trump, if that wasn't able to be successfully stemmed, we were going to get hit with biologicals and chemicals that the world's never heard of. And this person's specialty was counter-bioterrorism. Chemical and biologicals were his specialty. Scary, scary stuff. And I also think, and I wish we could have explored this more, and that's why I'm going to have to interview him again. I mentioned the Tet Offensive Viet Cong parallel. I said this earlier. We are in a multi-generational battle for control of this country. I can really see where the country flipped. The genesis of it was Huey Long and his blatant socialism in the Depression. And then, of course, coming out of World War II, we had basically the communist takeover of Hollywood. And then we just progressed further and further and further until we get someone like Obama. And then Clinton trying to come in, who was, would have been worse than Obama. This has been a long time coming, and it's not going to get eradicated quickly. And this is why I laugh at this QAnon stuff. Listen, folks, it's nonsense. It's not true. It's disinfo. Hillary Clinton's not going to get Mo. The deep state is not going to be defeated that easily. They're too entrenched. They're too strong. They're too powerful. We're in a generational fight. And we're in a generational fight for our religion, our government, our way of life, and our families. When we come back in hour number three, we're going to be talking to Virginia Farver. Fantastic information that you all need to have.